B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, March 7th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Team Liquid is transitioning their Blackout team into an Apex Legends squad. What does that mean for the scene? Plus, did Nintendo purposefully choose to make less money on a game? That's a very weird statement to even be saying in 2019. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Gillette has struck a partnership with Twitch to form a worldwide streamer alliance. The Gillette Gaming Alliance will represent the brand and produce content for fans, starting with a Bits for Blades event, wherein Twitch users can earn bits by purchasing Gillette Blades. The U.S. representative, by the way, is streamer Courage JD.
Gillette is already somewhat involved in the space, sort of, you know, they're in Boston and they're partnering with the Kraft families, you know, you got the Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, so exactly.
They're definitely involved in an esports brand with the Boston Uprising, so it's not surprising to see a partnership like this.
A month after the whole world thought Silas was terrible, he's been disabled in competitive play. No, it's not because he's too powerful, he's just broken. His unique gameplay has led to some potentially game-breaking bugs, so he's been disabled until Riot can address the situation.
Oh, man. That's par for the course with new heroes.
When it comes to the fact that he can potentially use any ult in the game, it doesn't surprise me.
Hang on, I'm getting a whole bunch of error codes thrown up here. I don't know if this means that Joe is right or dreadfully, dreadfully wrong, and I fear for the future of this show if he was right, because it would mean that one of his League of Legends insights was accurate for once, and then we'd have to go and recast the entire show.
Listen, Silas was terrible. He's not that great, but his unique ultimate to steal other people's ultimates is leading to problems in the game.
So wait. But your initial assertion that he was terrible and should never be used in pro play has been completely debunked.
I would say
he's already been used in.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. All right.
Great effect.
So
as well.
Joe's still wrong.
Joe's still wrong.
Yeah. All is still right with the world. Yes. Okay.
Friend of the show, Miss Harvey, has parted ways with CLG Red. After spending 4 years playing for Counterlogic Gaming's female CSGO team, the 32-year-old vet will now explore other options with other teams.
I'm kind of interested to see where she ends up landing.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't sound like it was any kind of, like, bad separation. Just, you know, a new player came onto the team and had kind of taken her role, and she didn't really want to be riding the bench. Fiddle, yeah. So, yeah, I'll see if I can find a spot on another team.
Yeah, no, and good luck to her. And, you know, I'm going to be interested to see if she keeps with, CSGO, or if maybe she takes this opportunity
to jump to
another game, maybe Apex. I don't know. I'd love to see her do that. That would be very cool. I don't know if that's, you know, something that she's angling for, but that would be very welcomed.
Well, speaking of Apex Legends, it is making a change to character hitboxes on their largest characters following ongoing complaints that those characters are too easy to hit. Respawn is being very cautious, however, with how they go about this, because taking changes like this, you need to have a lot of extra time given to them, because these are potentially game-changing fixes. These are things that they understand could really break things if they're not super careful.
I mean, and also the thing is that I understand the big hitbox argument going on, specifically with like Pathfinder and Gibraltar.
Not even just the fact that they're bigger, because Respawn has said that they're supposed to be bigger. They also have more defensive capabilities. But specifically with Pathfinder, for example, his hitbot actually extends down like between his legs further than what it actually is.
Yeah, so I think that there's definitely some necessary adjustments that have to happen. especially for, like you said, Pathfinder. But no, you're right that this is a very delicate line that Respawn has to walk, because we've seen other games, Bethesda, Fallout 76, make way too large adjustments, and then it ends up really affecting psychologically their community. And the thing that you don't need, especially if you're on top of this hill right now, is you don't need people falling off and going back over to Fortnite.
Right. Well, I mean, anyone who's played, you know, GoldenEye will tell you that Oddjob was busted for a reason. Hitboxes matter.
That is very,
very
true.
Important.
You're very right.
Nintendo is set to run their first Tetris 99 tournament on the Switch. No, it won't be in front of a live audience for millions of dollars. Anyone will be allowed to enter the event, in which players will have a set amount of time to win as many games as they can. The top 999 players will receive $10 in Switch points, and of course, it's free to enter.
See,
it's in keeping with the spirit that Nintendo has had for video games the entire time. Listen, this is something that should be accessible. And I understand, you know, listen, Fortnite tries to do the same thing with their tournaments, much to their detriment. But again, this is Tetris 99. It's a whole different animal. I think this is a very smart move. Nintendo is keeping, you know, the accessibility in
and
esports, and I think that's important.
Small event. Embrace the small content. Not everything needs to be a multi-million dollar esport with sponsors and all that.
You're 100%
just
right.
Say, hey, here's $10 if you're good at our game. Thanks.
Yeah.
Speaking of Tetris 99, congratulations go out to super producer Kooky Persona, who got her second Tetris 99 win today.
Well, wow. Nice. Very nice.
While details about Halo Infinite have been few and far between, the head of the project has dispelled one long-running rumor. He has confirmed that the title will indeed launch on the Xbox One, killing rumors that it would be held back as a launch title for their next-gen console.
This is interesting. I guess if you're a Halo fan, you have reason to be excited.
We might as well hear about something coming out for one of these systems.
That's true. You know, we keep hearing about these, you know, the Xbox Anaconda or,
and
you know,
Lockhart.
Yeah, or Sweet Roll, or I don't even know what's the
next. Xbox Rockhard.
Inappropriate.
Hit the drop. Thank you. This is definitely an interesting move. I don't know that Halo franchise still hold the same meaning without Bungie attached to it?
The answer is no.
Look, it hasn't held the same meaning since Halo 3.
That's what I'm saying.
Microsoft, nobody wants your consoles. Just stop.
Counter-Strike Global Offensive has released a new patch that helps the game run smoother. A notorious CPU memory hog, the new patch reduces CPU usage by as much as 40%. Oh, and because they're a real esport, they waited until after IEM Katowice has dropped the patch.
Beautiful.
Take that, Epic.
Because who knows? Seriously, with so much CPU freed up, there are going to be people that have a long adjustment time to how this game is going to run now.
Yeah, it's going
to
run nicer. Get ready for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it's not like you needed the most powerful computer to run the thing in the first place, but, you know, a game that old now finally really getting optimized for CPUs seems a little bit weird, but, you know.
Hey, eventually it's got to happen, I guess.
I guess.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. We're coming up on the end of Stage 1 for the Overwatch League, and Blizzard has announced the format of the Stage 1 playoffs.
Yep, so Overwatch League Stage 1 playoffs are now looming large. We know the top 8 teams are going to qualify. We've known that for a moment. Mm-hmm. Basically, the number 1 team in each conference is going to get the top seeding, and then the best 6 teams overall after that will
get the lower seed.
Exactly, get the remaining spaces. So what that means is, theoretically, if it worked out that way, you could have 7 teams come out of one conference, but there's at least one guaranteed team coming out of
the other
conference. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood that. We also know that there's going to be a reseeding after the first round, after the quarterfinals. It will be single elimination, but what that does is it means if you're positioning these last couple of weeks is super important, because not only are you going to get seeded once into the tournament, you're going to get reseeded again, and the prize money starts to really ramp up after that first weekend.
That's correct.
It's also cool to see that everyone who makes a stage playoff is going to get a cut of the pie.
Yes. And I mean, and one other big thing that we do have to mention here is that the quarterfinals and the finals are going to be on ABC.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. ABC is carrying those.
Is this just for stage one? Do you think that this
stage
is going to...
Stage one, stage
and two,
two
are announced.
And the All-Star Game.
And the All-Star Game are announced.
Wow.
Man,
so,
that's
so,
major.
I mean, like, let's say that they bring in ratings, right? Like, they do well for ABC. We could be seeing the grand finals of
on
OWL.
On network television.
On network television. Now, remember, this was a big deal just kind of... You know, in terms of like the optics of it, right? Like just the psychologically, it was a big deal to have OWL on ESPN. Do you know, I mean, like it, that network TV, like primetime network TV, that would be, that's the big time. Like there's,
oh, yeah.
You can't ignore that.
That's where you're going to get, you're going to be getting those text messages from your parents. Like, hey, I'm
what
trying,
is this thing?
Yeah, I'm trying to watch Wheel of Fortune and they've got this video game thing on.
Wait, I'm trying to watch the 435th episode of CSI today.
Now.
Why am I having to watch video games? I don't understand.
The future is now, old man.
Please, please come over and change my channel. And by the way, can you get my thing to stop blinking 12 on the top of my television?
No, Grandma. No one can. It's impossible.
Grandma, those are my parents now.
Actual
those
parents,
are my parents
yes.
now.
Well, and if you it's were started, a normal human being, they might be grandparents by now, too.
The torch has been passed. It's no longer grandparents
it's
that
grandparents.
Are... It's our parents' generation
oh,
that
no.
is... meeting this with complete and they're flummoxed
but the
by
best
it.
But the best part is when you get two or three that you hear about that kind of get it and they go, oh yeah, I didn't know what this was, but I stuck with it for 15 minutes and it was kind of cool.
Dude, when my grandpa learned how to play on a Game Boy and started like telling me about like better strategies for like Tetris and stuff, I'm like, like, I didn't know, like, 10-year-old me did not know how to handle that.
Yeah.
Like, having an adult tell me how to play video games.
Is granddad cool?
I've never had that in my life.
Really?
No. I've never had anyone older than me take an active interest in video games.
My dad is who taught me how to throw a Hadouken, bro.
That's so bizarre to me, considering that the only time I've ever seen my dad play video games was the first time I ever got exposed to Super Mario Brothers, because it was over at one of his friends' houses.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tries it three times, doesn't get it, hands it off to me. They don't see me for the rest of the day. I'm just there playing Mario.
Yeah.
Didn't he say something to you, like, as he handed it off to you, was, this is stupid?
Yeah, like, as he couldn't do it and handed it off to me, it was like,
wait,
yeah, this is dumb, you
wait.
Try, kid.
So it's the same way that you give up on Battle Royales and you can't do it. This is stupid.
This is stupid.
You know what? You shut your you shut your filthy mouth. All right, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, did Nintendo choose to make less money on its mobile titles? That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Team Liquid has shifted their Blackout squad into an Apex Legends team. What does that mean for the landscape of Battle Royale games? Stick around. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. With Apex Legends challenging Fortnite for the Battle Royale scene, it's left games like Battlefield and Call of Duty Blackout Mode out in the cold. This week, Team Liquid officially repurposed their Blackout roster to be an Apex Legends squad.
Yeah,
that is so great.
And that's hilarious.
It's worth noting, they didn't let a single one of their players go. They kept them all and just moved them over to Apex Legends.
I mean, they didn't just make a new team. It's
listen,
like you play Apex now.
Listen, it is basically the exact
exact same game as Blackout mode, but just
better.
Just with abilities, right? With like characters and abilities.
Well, and the ping system. I don't think Blackout has the ping system.
I don't remember if they do.
It doesn't have as good a one as
it doesn't.
Apex has. I'll put it that way.
But in any case, like, I think that this is a huge deal here, because, like, yeah, you know, we've said there can't be this many battle royale games, and there seem to be more and more growing. Right?
You need to differentiate yourself more.
I just read about one that's like a medieval themed battle royale game, and, you know, like, I understand that maybe there's room for different takes on it, but in terms of like just dropping onto an island with 99 other
just
players,
like a straight tactical shooter, there can probably only be one.
Yeah, right. Like, well, I think it's been done.
Well, that's the question: is how many battle royale games can a healthy video game economy sustain? Do you think, like, total
3?
See, that's about what I would say. It's about 3.
Like 3 popular ones, yeah.
I was going to say, yeah. See, there has to be a distinction, because technically, people are still playing H1Z1.
Yeah,
that's fair.
But we're talking about
technically
this.
People are still playing Arma, but I mean, you know, let's not split hairs here.
Yeah, but if you're talking enough to like support an actual esports scene,
not even an esports scene, just a scene, period.
There's a healthy, vibrant
community.
Healthy
scene.
Yeah,
just 3.
How about we lower the bar even lower?
Because we have technically like 3-4 right now ish.
Let's take this bar lower it one more further. A functional online environment.
Okay. Well, if there's anything Checkpoint XP is known for, it is lowering the bar.
Well, that's the thing. H1Z1 even still has that. People are still playing that game.
Right. But at some point, you know, like, you become Radical Heights, okay? You just got to give up the ghost.
Or Lawbreakers.
Poor Cliffy. Poor Cliffy.
That was not nice, Robbie.
Poor Cliffy.
It just came out, I'm sorry.
You're just kicking him while he's down.
No, but it's true. But even to your point, so you got double A, at least 3, double to triple A.
Well, because right now we have what? PUBG, we have Fortnite, yeah. Apex is coming onto the scene. And
yeah.
Does Blackout actually...
Do you count Blackout?
Well,
yes, you do. Yes, you do.
So we have like 2 for sure, and then 2 maybe.
And Battlefield hasn't hit the scene yet,
well,
has it?
I think that this is a legitimate question, because you do have CWL, but CWL mostly operates with Deathmatch, right?
It doesn't usually operate out of Blackout mode.
It doesn't use Blackout mode. Was there a separate Blackout mode scene that was starting to maybe congeal, or that Activision was trying to push? Because I think that may be a little bit better evidence of why they would take the talent and convert them over to Apex. Listen, Apex has a lot more to build around, and especially if you know, Activision is looking to run 2 scenes in tandem with one another, it doesn't make sense to have a Blackout mode team. Just put them to Apex. Those games are
very similar.
They're functionally, visually, they're so similar, you might as well.
So that's why I wanted to mention this, is we've now seen players come out of Overwatch League from last year and go to Apex Legends, and we've seen players come from Call of Duty Blackout mode and go to Apex Legends. Is it just shooter games, or is there something about Apex that fundamentally makes it so that it's easy for players from other games to come compete?
I think there's a combination of both, because number one, Apex is still an incredibly accessible shooter.
Very intuitive as well.
Very intuitive, very accessible.
Right.
Whereas PUBG is incredibly punishing. And so I think when you take, you're seeing a lot less overlap with players from PUBG, because PUBG still kind of functions in its own kind of ecosystem.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily built with the same even type of hit detection that Blackout mode and Apex and all that other type of stuff is kind of built on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's easier to overlap those types of games because the playstyle really ain't all that dissimilar.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Jack Sports Radio 1010 XL in Jacksonville, Florida, as well as ESPN Radio 99.3 in Fort Myers, Florida. We're currently talking about Team Liquid shifting their Blackout mode team over to Apex Legends, and I think maybe part of what's at play here is that Team Liquid maybe jumped the gun in forming a squad around Blackout Mode.
That's fair.
There was a lot of hype, and granted, Activision was responsible for creating a lot of it, but there was a lot of hype around Blackout Mode that, look, this could come out and just wipe the floor with all of the other kind of developed.
It was the would be or would it be included in CWL at that point, right? Where the speculation drove a scene, it created a scene, albeit a small one, but the follow-up never came. That was the problem, is that the follow-up never came. It was the same thing that happened to Fortnite, but they even had the lesson of Fortnite to say, let's get out ahead of it, create a scene, and fund it. And they didn't do that. And they, you know, and Fortnite didn't do that until just now, really. And they still can't figure it out. So I think it's in Apex's favor that they're coming out and already doing small LAN events here and there to sort of work the kinks out before they reveal something large.
Well, that is my question. Is this a death knell for Blackout Mode? At the end of the day, this is one team analyzing the scene and saying, you know what, we're going to shift our focus to
Apex.
But
it's one of the biggest teams.
Listen, I think that this is not a very good bellwether for competitive Blackout Mode. But then again, I don't know what the scene around competitive Blackout Mode organically looked like anyway. So I don't think that this necessarily... Listen, Call of Duty is Call of Duty is Call of Duty. They're always going to have a functional online, semi-competitive environment. It's not going anywhere.
Right.
But I do think, from Team Liquid's perspective, if you're looking at potential prize pools and trying to earn your keep, got to be shifting to Apex.
Team Liquid, by the way, didn't just bring these players over from their Blackout squad. They're actually signing on additional Apex players. They're going to run multiple squads.
They've read the team.
Well, of course.
There's something has been said internally, I think, to make some of these people make these types of
moves. Now that Apex is has cemented itself in the Battle Royale scene, we can kind of see that EA is angling to kind of bring up that esports market. And you know what? They don't already have an existing one, which puts them in a better place to be able to make it, market it, than Activision coming in and forming another scene. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What do you think about Blackout Mode and its future viability as a competitive game mode? Share your opinions at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily, why would Nintendo choose to make less money on one of their games? That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily. My name is Nate Bender. So glad to have you locked in with us. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're following us on our freshly partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. Tolly and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's new Twitch emotes in store since we got on the front page of Twitch. There's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Nintendo is known for making some strange decisions at times, but this one might just take the cake. According to a report from the Wall Street Journal, Nintendo actively chose to make less money on one of their mobile titles.
Yeah, specifically the report says that Nintendo asked the developers of their mobile title, Dragalia Lost, to make it easier for players to unlock the rare characters in the game, and thus players wouldn't have to spend as much money on it. Now, Cygames, who made
what
it...
What is Dragalia Lost?
It's a lot like Final Fantasy Record Keeper, basically.
Basically,
unlock characters to, battle with battles. And play the game and whatnot. It's a gacha game.
But it was developed by Nintendo?
It was developed specifically by Cygames for Nintendo.
It's an odd choice, I think, for Nintendo, because it's not connected to one of their core titles.
Yeah.
When...
Like Super Mario Run.
Super Mario Run. or Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, yes, this is evidence of something interesting, but this is also not their most popular title either.
So, Cygames, the developer of the game, they did as they were asked, and an unnamed member of the company said, quote, "Nintendo is not interested in making a large amount of revenue from a single smartphone game. If we managed the game alone, we would have made a lot more." This, to me, like you say, Dragalia Lost, obviously not their most popular title. It's bigger, obviously, overseas than it is here.
Right.
Not really for us.
Right. But, I mean, this is a leak coming out of the subcontracted company.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know that Nintendo does subcontract companies like Niantic,
specifically
for
their mobile titles.
I mean, so, Sakurai is a freelancer.
Right. Well, but I have to wonder if this is a full directive from the top down. Like, yes, there has to be some kind of monetizable aspect. But, I mean, like, we've even said that the balance between what you need to pay versus how much you play when you get out of it on Pokemon Go, that balance is actually fairly well struck.
It's fairly okay.
Yeah, as long as you're putting in the time and the effort to go to Pokestops,
and
you'll
spin,
you'll barely ever need to buy items.
It's the whole argument, the anti-FIFA argument, right? Where it's like, if I can earn enough for free,
right,
I'm more likely to buy the packs to get me over the hump.
Sure.
But if I feel like that I can never progress without spending X amount of dollars, I get frustrated with the game or I don't want to use the mode.
One of the reasons that actually stopped me from playing the only gacha game I've ever been interested in, which was Final Fantasy Record Keepers. It felt like at some point I got to a point where I felt like I was being gouged.
Yeah. And that's where you never really want to get your fan base to. Because, you know, a lot of, I think, you know, there, you can't ignore, you know, the phenomenon of, you know, crowdfunding and the way that people will really open their wallets to be able to fund something that they like and believe in. And they're much more willing to throw money at something if they feel compelled out of loyalty than they do out of
necessity.
And don't get me wrong, necessity will drive certain people, but I think that that's much more predatory.
Well,
you know, like, and I use, I, and maybe, oh God, I feel like I shouldn't admit this, but I use Fallout 76 as an example, right? This is a game that will give you atoms, which is their premium currency, their microtransacted currency. But because I like the product and I believe in the product, I have bought atoms before because I want to see it continue
We've all bought skins and loot boxes.
Same reason that I buy loot boxes during events in Overwatch.
I know, but it's Fallout 76 and I feel like somebody's just going to pounce all over me for that one.
I also think that when you look at the fact that this is Nintendo, more than any other company, they have a respect for their audience, right? And I mean, this honestly is kind of right on brand with the fact that they want you to feel like you're being respected.
It's not just a respect for the audience, it's also a very, very intelligent self-assessment of their brand as well.
And maybe the industry.
And maybe
as well.
Even the industry as a whole, because we also see Sony taking a step back from the constant churnout of games and funding them with microtransactions. So we're seeing certain companies take a stance against that creatively. And I think this is, in Robbie, as you were saying, it is very much so in line with Nintendo, because they've always been a company that's about the virtuosity of game making.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. We're currently talking about Nintendo making the active choice to make less money on one of its mobile titles and why in 2019 that seems so surprising. And I think that you're right. There are a glut of companies that won't hesitate to try to gouge their audience because they have done this assessment that their audience is so loyal to their products. And listen, we are loyal to things that we like.
Oh yeah.
But there's a breaking point, mm-hmm. right? Like, there is a point where things can get so bad and so dire that your audience turns on you. And look at Battlefront, you know, as a perfect example. Both times
that's a combination of Battlefield and Star Wars.
Exactly. And both times they tried that game, it was roundly rejected. You know, their monetization model was roundly rejected. Models, exactly.
Yeah. This isn't the first time that something like this has happened with Nintendo either. You know, now that right now microtransactions, loot boxes are definitely being talked about all over the political spectrum. A few years ago, I think it was back in 2011 when the whole DLC thing was a craze, there was actually a quote that came out of an interview with Reggie where he basically said, look, yeah, the DLC thing makes sense in certain instances, but we want to make sure that when people are buying our product, they feel like they're buying a complete product and we're not piecemealing it to them afterwards.
It's so like,
again, virtuosity.
Right. But have you ever heard of a company make as much of like a 180 with like the gaming scene as Nintendo has? Because I remember 2-3 years ago, Nintendo's name was dirt for a lot of people.
It was to me. And then, like I said, it was because I disagreed with their creative decisions for the most part. But one thing I think nobody can deny is Nintendo has the pull as a business. Nintendo knows how to run itself as a business.
And you know, I think that there were a lot of really bad arguments that came out of the gaming community that led to sort of the place that we're in. You know, microtransactions kind of came out of real money trading. Let's be honest with it.
No, it did.
This was a practice that was looked down upon by the entire gaming industry and by developers and actively derided by the industry. And it turns out the only reason that they were deriding it is because they weren't getting their cut. and the thing is that we as game players were like, well, it's our money. What do you care what we do with it? And what they were arguing for was game balance. And the fact that, listen, this has to be, if we're going to be able to connect people in multiplayer, then you have to have a regulated online environment. And, you know, that becomes infinitely more difficult when you have all of these people out there going, yeah, but I just want mine. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.